Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, August 12, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 21, the second paragraph. Here is the fellow who has been puzzling you. Reading through eight sentences, ending with, he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. We're going to be reading and commenting on these eight sentences only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Marietta P., 12 Traditions, Mary P., Reader of the Text, Julie E. B., Robin P. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Shelley E. The reference number for Thursday, August 11th, is 19,285. That's 19285. And for this morning, Friday, August 12th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,290. That's 19290. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Jody E., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marietta P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Marietta.
Good morning, Marietta P. from Virginia, recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to prove our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass and thank you for allowing me to be of service today.
Thank you so much, Marietta P. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask you to keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 21, the second paragraph. Here is the fellow who has been puzzling you, reading through 8 sentences only, ending with, he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. We're reading and commenting on these 8 sentences only. I will now ask Julie E.B. to read and share with us. Star 1, Julie.
Hi.
Hi. There we go.
This is Julie A.B., gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here is the fellow who's been puzzling you, especially in his lack of control. He does absurd, incredible, tragic things while drinking. He is a real Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He is seldom mildly intoxicated. He is more or less, always more or less insanely drunk. His disposition while drinking resembles his normal nature but a little. He may be one of the finest fellows in the world, yet let him drink for a day and he frequently becomes disgustingly, even dangerously, antisocial. Well, I'm very pleased that I have the privilege to share about this paragraph today because for me, in the food for decades, there became no time when I wasn't thinking about food, planning for food, waiting for my next binge. And the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde has been one of the most powerful images in the spiritual experience for me in this program, because here's what I discover. The biggest disconnect there is between who I am on the outside and what I'm feeling on the inside. The bigger the addiction is knocking on my door, the bigger the craving is going to come up. I would get to the end. I would work in the morning and help my family and push down, and then have a big meal at 2 o'clock and binge my brains out. And then I would go back and, you know, just think life was happening to me and do what everyone else wanted and just had this whole narrative about my life that would go on. And on the outside, I'd be smiling. Yeah, I'm okay. It's fine. I'm loving. I'm nice. And on the inside, I felt crazy and I felt alone and I felt sad and I felt despair, you know, that I never felt like enough. And that was the Mr. Hyde. And then when something would happen to tip me over the edge, I'd go from being compliant and swing all the way over to being controlling or raging. And Mr. Hyde would come out, or Dr. Jekyll, whichever one is the one that, I think it's Mr. Hyde, that is out of control with behavior, you know, and that monster would come out, and not just in eating and hurting myself, but in hurting those around me. And so I might resemble that normal nature, but today the great news is, today recovered, having worked the steps, one person with another, walking through them, today I am the same person all the time. And sometimes I fail, and sometimes I fall short, and sometimes I'm short with someone, or have a conflict with someone, or struggle with something. It's not all rainbows and unicorns, but I'm always me. There's just one me. There's no Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde other times. I'm full of joy. I'm full of being A-okay. So it's an amazing life, this life of recovery, because there's just one me. I'm the problem, but there is a solution. And the solution is that my higher power loves me anyway. I have a God that's bigger than me and personal to me. So please reach out today for whatever you need, because reaching out, showing other people you're Mr. Hyde, this is a key step towards recovery and towards working these 12 steps. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on these 8 sentences. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please hold off. And if not, please give me, and you'd like to share, please give me your name and first initial, and I'll take a list. So who'd like to share this morning?
Lori J.
Kara L. Deborah G.
Lori and a Kara L. And
Karen
a Deborah
B.
G.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. Okay, who did I miss? I have Lori.
Lisa J.R.
Lisa
Patricia
J.R.
W.
Patricia W.
Sharon B.
Okay, let's stop there. Okay, I have Lori, Kara L., Deborah G., Bonnie B., Lisa J.R., Patricia W., and Sharon B. Did I miss someone? Okay, let's go ahead and start with that lineup. Go ahead, Lori. Please give me your initial and where you're calling from.
Thank you. This is Lori J. from Tennessee, a compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for those of you doing service and for these meetings. And, you know, it never fails that every day when I read the big book, something just hits me over the head. But if you could pick maybe one paragraph that just defines why I'm in these rooms, it's this one. The real Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, finest fellow in the world. I may not have said that about myself, but the idea that I could, the outside world, even somewhat to my family, have a mask on and be an okay person, but that once I was in the food, once I was compulsive overeating, disgustingly, dangerously antisocial, and what led me to OA, now almost a full year, wasn't so much my weight. I know for some that was it. There was always a bigger shirt size for me, but it was having a discussion with my husband on bringing home groceries and well over half of them being just savory sweet stuff that no one else was going to eat. It was just for me and no one else could touch. And I just in that second heard my higher power say, it is time, right? This Dr. Jekyll, where I was behaving in a way that hurt my family and hurt me and brought me to the big book and brought me through the steps, and it's, I'm grateful to be on the other side and living in steps 10 through 12 and hearing your experience and strength and hope. So thank you all, and hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you so much, Lori J. from Tennessee. Kara L., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you, Don, and everybody who's giving service and bringing the meeting to us this morning. Just part of the paragraph, you know, the more I study with Vision for You and other meetings, the big book, the more I'm starting to see the balance in the big book. I'm starting to see, you know, the levity a little bit and the kindness and the compassion and the love. And when I look at this description here, you know, where are those things? Well, this tells me, you know, like this is a description of me when I'm in self, when I'm compulsively eating, you know, when I think I know how things need to be. And it reminds me, it's giving me the picture. Soon we're going to see the balanced out, you know, what happens when I have a power greater than myself in my life that is guiding me and showing me the way. And when I am not in self, you know, what is my true nature? You know, when I'm in self and I'm compulsively eating, you know, it says that I resemble my normal nature little. Well, that was a surprise to try to figure out what is my true nature, because when I took away the compulsive eating and when I took away to the best, you know, my ability by working these steps and by reaching for a higher power and asking for help from a higher power, what was my true nature? You know, and that's the beauty for me today in this program, is that I continually am discovering more and more of my true nature now that I've worked these steps and I work them every day, and that I reach for a higher power every day and in every moment. And I get to explore, what is my true nature? What is my, you know, what's the plan that my higher power has for me in this space, in this time right now? How can I be of service to those around me? You know, and it is a beautiful thing, and I'm so grateful and thankful, and I will pass with that.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Bonnie B.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Dawn, for being of service and everyone that made this meeting possible and all the shares that have 12-step me and ones coming up. Just, oh, I loved it. Like was said, don't have to do this alone. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona and just so grateful for this program. I was taken back with the shares with how I would be at some function, like, oh, it's particularly like a potluck thing, and load up my plate. And I'm, by nature, you know, I'm not a real social butterfly. And because of the guilt, because of all the food I was eating, I became this social butterfly and all this just to try to suppress those feelings plus look good. Even though, because I was feeling guilty about scarfing all this food down, and look good because I'm a social butterfly, you know. And then taking my food, binge food, actually going out into the parking lot. This was a meeting, another program, taking the food out into the parking lot and eating it. And, you know, being disconnected from whatever's going on at the meeting and the people at the meeting. And that's what would happen a lot of times, too. I wasn't present. I wasn't listening. I wasn't involved, engaged in conversations when I was eating. And I'm so grateful. Oh, yesterday I went to lunch with another fellow in another program, and being able to see my nutritious foods and the colors, how colorful my plate was, and the other person even mentioned the same thing. And being present for her, hearing her, really listening, engaging, being involved, and walking away from that lunch, feeling really good. Oh, this program is amazing. And I prayed before going. And that was that beautiful divine loving presence unfolding that beautiful experience with us. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's all I have.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Bonnie B., please share with us, followed by Lisa J.R.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Don, and everyone that's on the line. Thank you, Don, for moderating and for all the people that are helping to pull this off and then for all the shares. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God in the state of Minnesota for today and still very grateful. So the first sentence, here's the fellow who has been puzzling you. How about puzzling me? I mean, this was my life, right? I mean, I would do things that I didn't want to do. I would beg God after a binge in the middle of the night to help me not to do it the next day. I would repeat the same process over. I would puzzle myself. I think someone's unmuted. I was puzzling myself nonstop, you know, and picking up a bat and beating myself over the head over and over and over, because I couldn't figure out why I was switching like I was. Now, my family, you know, my poor family, right? They'd wake up and they didn't know who was going to be there. If I had binged the night before, I didn't show up very well. If I hadn't, I was better. But they were never certain who it was going to be. Was mom eating today? Was she not eating today? Was she eating, you know, has she eaten in the last three days? Has she not? It just depended on where I was at in this stage of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And no one was privy to that, because this was my shame. This was my guilt. This was my stronghold. This was something that I felt was my battle, right? When I came into this program, people started sharing with me some of the things they had done. That's when the walls started to fall for me. I am so transparent with other people with regards to what I've done in this addiction, because I want people to edge in and not edge out. There's nothing that I've done that others probably haven't done. There's nothing that someone else has done that I haven't done or thought of, because this is the nature of this disease. So to be able to see this at its front, to be able to like identify it for what it is and then step back from it and have the shame and the guilt removed by working the steps and knowing that, you know what, you can't see what you can't see and you don't know what you don't know until someone shares it with you. What a gift. And what's the gift? The gift is being present. It's as someone had just said, and the gift is being able to rise above everything that used to pull me down and say, it's not mine. I play hot potato a lot. That's not mine. That's yours, God. That's not mine. That's yours, God. I toss it back to God because it's not mine. And then I get to show up constant, at peace. Because the God that I serve, the God that created the heavens and the earth and holds it all in the palm of his hand, he can care for my six children and for our grandbabies and for my spouse. He can take care of everything that's going on around me that normally would cause me angst and put me back into the food. And so I still have the emotions, but I have a solution. And so I get to live in that place of consistency. And for that, I will be forever grateful. Thank you so much, everyone, for letting me share. And I hope you guys have a blessed day. Bonnie B. from Minnesota. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie B. Lisa J.R., please share with us, followed by Patricia W.
Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. from outside Baltimore, Maryland. Boy, puzzled. Everybody was puzzled. My husband, the people I worked with, I could be the nicest person in the world and turn on a dime. And why? Because like Dr. Jekyll, he ingested a potion to change the metamorphosis occurred after he drank his little potion. And me, it was eating food or drinking. It could be a multitude of things. In my case, I could get drunk on emotion, drunk on anger, as drunk as I could on food. So thank God, you know, aware of this, I knew that I had these horrendous mood swings. And I knew they affected everyone around me negatively. People were, you know, cautious around me. I didn't like that, but I got the ball rolling. So, you know, this struggle between the flesh and the spirit was real for me. And thank God, later I'm going to find out, you know, that yes, it goes way beyond ingesting something. It goes what precipitates that problem is in my mind, is in my my behavior. If a human being affects my relations, my self-esteem, my security, it's off to the races. I can become ugly in a New York minute, or could, I should say, become ugly quickly. But I've learned that, you know, where it says on page 66, the world and its people dominated us, man, after a binge, guilt and shame dominated me and set me into this terrible cycle of, you know, remorse, disgust, but I'd be back doing it again, then beating on the bar. How did this happen? I had a great plan in place. I had a diet I was following. I had, you know, financial accountability I was finding, whatever. It didn't matter. So, you know, the struggle is real, but we don't have to struggle. We can put that weight on our higher power and walk with him, and he will alleviate that for us. And I've learned in this program that just hang in there and keep doing it, because it works. It really does. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lisa J.R. from Maryland. Patricia W., please share with us, followed by Sharon B. And before Patricia shares, I just wanted to let you know we're on page 21, the second paragraph, starting with, here is the fellow who has been puzzling you, reading through 8 sentences, ending with, he frequently becomes disgustingly, even dangerously antisocial, and we're discussing those 8 sentences only. So after Patricia W. and Sharon B., I'm going to be opening up the lines to take more names. Go ahead, Patricia, please share with us.
My name is Patricia W. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been in OA for about 8 years. And I started listening to Vision about 2 weeks ago, and I have 16 days abstinence today, thanks to God, my home group, and basically this Vision meeting. I can relate to the reading with regards to lack of control. I had complete lack of control regarding sugar and food in general, but especially sugar. I could eat one, and then I'd eat 100. I could eat 2, and then I ate more. For my whole life, it's been like this. I was fortunate enough as a youngster to be real involved in sports, and it didn't show in my weight. But shortly after that, it began to show in my weight. But I'm trying to really focus on the not the food, but the spiritual part of the program. I know it's really important to work the steps. The other thing is, I was really antisocial when I was binging. I didn't want people to know what I was eating, how much, or what. I want to say that I really have hope today, and I want to thank those who have shared about being in OA for a long time and maybe even decades, and becoming abstinent through listening to the Vision meetings and working the program. I'm really grateful to be here. I just want to say there's one woman in my home group who kind of kept at me. She told me about the Vision meeting a long time ago and gave me the information, and at that time I felt like, oh, that's too rigid for me. I can't do it. And she just kind of kept talking to me a little by little, wasn't nagging or anything like that. And then finally I listened, and I'm just going to keep coming back. This is wonderful. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Patricia W. Did you want to let us know where you're calling from? What state?
I'm from Southern California.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. All right, Sharon B., please share with us. Star one, Sharon. Oh, there
yes,
we go.
Good morning, family. Fun with buttons. Good morning, family. My name's Sharon. Sharon B., very grateful, recovered, not cured, compulsive eater from Michigan. And yes, thank you to everybody who's shared before me. I'm grateful for each and every one of you and everyone doing service today. And for 12-stepping me, thank you. I love that. Here is the fellow who's been puzzling you, you know, and I puzzled everybody, including myself, there was a part of me that was the base, the core me, who wanted more than anything in the world to be able to love and connect with people, especially with my son. My first son had passed away, and I swore whatever I had to do, if God gave me another one, it just didn't happen. You know, what happened was I absolutely loved my son, but I absolutely was not there for him. I wanted more than anything to just be Dr. Jekyll, but I was so very, I wanted to be the person who could be there for him. And yet I was so uncomfortable. And so I'd be about to see him and I'd have something to eat just to help calm my nerves a little bit, just a little bit. And next thing you know, I had been, we know the story. And then I'm in the hangover and I just can't do it. And he tells the story of his 16th birthday where he came over excited to see me because I had recently become sober in another program. So I was going to be a person who could be there for him, but no, I had binged and I had the hangover and I told my partner to just tell him I wasn't well. And that was more true than I ever realized. You know, I was disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. I endangered everything around me, driving drunken food to go to meetings where I could act like I was doing okay because I was not drunk in other ways, you know, and then endangering the lives of myself and all those who were around me and anybody who rode with me. You know, starting out, I was going to, you know, be a great sponsor in my other program and then didn't show up because I ate too much or because I had to go get more food or I was hungover or whatever. We know the story. You know, I was two people and I was puzzling to myself and everyone who was around me and who knew me. And I'm so grateful not to have to be that person today. Recovered means recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And this is a description of the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, which exists in me. Oh, thank you. And gratefully, I don't have to be that today because of y'all. Thank you, family. I pass.
Thank you so much, Sharon B. from Michigan. And I'm now going to be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on these 8 sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on these 8 sentences?
Patricia
I heard a Patricia and I heard a Penny L.C. And
Sherry,
I'm not sure. Sherry Z.
Yes.
Okay, and Andreas. And so I have Patricia, Penny L. C., Sherry Z., Andreas, and one more name.
Maria.
Shannon. Maria. Maria S. And, pardon? Ria?
Marie S.
Marie S. Very good. Thank you so much. All right. Very good. That's a good lineup there. And I'm sorry to anyone I missed or we may not have time for, but let's take this list first. Patricia, Penny L.C., Sherry Z., Andreas, and Marie S. Go ahead, Patricia. Please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Well, thank you, Don. I'm Patricia P. from Michigan. And what I had to share starts with the last sentence above, or phrase above the paragraph today. It says, but at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption once he starts to drink. Here's a fellow farther down in that paragraph where it says, he may be one of the finest fellows in the world, yet it let him drink for one day, for a day, and he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. Well, I used to tell people I was a loner. That was my way of phrasing it. But I didn't consider myself disgustingly because I didn't even know my own things. But I know with my mental illness, I live in an adult foster care home here. And before I used to be in an AFC home, when I was living on my own, I would go to KFC and have one of those cakes that goes with it and eat the whole thing for myself. So at the AFC home, they control what you consume. They give you a little small side of a dessert type thing. And that would help for now, but if I'd be back on my own, I'd be back on my own alcoholic foods. I choose to call sugar my alcoholic food. I got to practice reading labels. Anything with OSE on it is just like milk has lactose, that's sugar. I can't have milk no more, dairy. I can't have, really anything that's not on God's plan, which is Genesis 1:29-30, fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables, and whole grains. I use oatmeal as my grain. I've been using it once a day, but now it looks like I'm going to have to start using it two times a day because I'm on the two-meal plan. My provider weren't giving me the protein, the beans I was asking for. Well, I didn't stand up for myself at first, when I was trying to, I would have my fruit meals for lunch and my vegetables for supper. And for breakfast, I'd have like mangoes, bananas, peaches, whatever, with pecans, almonds, cashews, all the different kinds of things like that for variety. But I need to add oatmeal to that, because I noticed I wasn't having an elimination good enough to be normal. And my blood pressure was, where I used to have high blood pressure medication, now I was drastically low. It was supposed to be 128 or 120 over 80. And mine was 80-some over 50-some. That was dangerously low. And so by just adding beans and oatmeal for my supper yesterday, my blood pressure reading this morning was 128 over 80, which is good. And so...
time?
My time is up?
Yes.
Okay, I'll stand there. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Patricia P. from Michigan. Penny L.C., please share with us, followed by Sherry Z.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I was curious about the phrase Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And, it refers to really this fellow who's recognized in society, as an upstanding citizen, so to speak, a doctor, and yet becomes his alter ego is a murderous criminal. And he's transformed via an unnamed chemical concoction to live out his dark urges. And I'll tell you, boy, my chemical concoction consisted of, sugar, fat, salt at times to counteract all the sugar, and just quantities, large quantities of it, and it was whatever that chemical concoction was that would give me that sense of just, whatever the stress was going on in my life, if I could get away from it for just a moment with that bite. And then back to the Jekyll and Hyde phrase, it refers to people with an outwardly good, but sometimes shockingly evil nature on the opposite side of him. And, the absence of good, profound wickedness, and against common good, personal moral evil. Well, I know it compromised my integrity greatly, and was counter to my core beliefs and values of how I wanted to be as a person. I didn't have it planned out that I would be stealing food from others, for gosh sakes. From the time I was a teenager babysitting at people's houses, yes, they said, help myself. Well, yes, but I don't think they had in mind what I did. Taking it from coworkers, food, candy from coworkers' desks, my children's candy. Oh my gosh, their holiday candy. And not only eating it when I could sneak it and supposedly acting as if I never did it, but planning by choosing, you know, what items I would buy for them. Oh my word, just the insanity of it all. And the root of evil, often strife and suffering, a result of self-will run riot. Boy, if I wasn't that, I was just doing my own thing on my own terms, but trying to get away with it with looking on the outside like I was all put together and just doing my, you know, darndest to be such a good person. It was just incredible how I could be so two-faced, and grateful today that I don't have to be that I can be genuine and that I can be honest
time
and straightforward. Thank you, Dawn. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Penny LC from Washington. Sherry Z, please share with us, followed by Andreas.
Good morning, visionaries, and thank you, Dawn, for all those who do service this morning. I'm Sherry Z from Southern California, and I am gratefully recovered today by the grace of God. And for the newcomer, I came to OA for 31 years, and the last 10 months, I have felt what true freedom feels like, and there is nothing that has touched it. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was the same person, and in me is this incredibly fine human and also this raging, controlling, difficult human. What the food did was it tried to temper Mr. Hyde. I get confused who's who, but the food was my way of trying to control that I didn't have both of those impulses. It was like, oh, okay. And then what would happen is that it would exacerbate both of them, and I didn't know which way it would go. Would it go to the, you know, the food calms me down and then I miss, you know, everything's okay. Or would it set me on fire where I'd be wanting to throw my kids out of my house and be a crazy person? And what I'm learning today is both those impulses are very much in me. And I still want to control and be smiley all the time, even without the food. And what I'm learning in recovery day at a time is to embrace both those impulses in with me. But they're not at the same extremes. I'm not a crazy person in either direction. I'm a much more balanced person, but there's days that I get grumpy. And yesterday I had to do 6 10-steps. 6. That's a lot. But I had to because I have resentment still. But the difference is I didn't reach for the food or try to fake it. What I did was, you know what? I had resentment and I had to take care of them. So what this program does is it gives me a way to look at both those impulses within me. So I'm really grateful to be here, and thank you again. Sherry Z from Southern California.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z from California. Andreas, please share with us, followed by Marie S.
Hey, good morning, Andreas here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so Andreas from Southern Sweden, actually. So it's late in the afternoon here, and it's really warm today. Thank you all for the meeting. Thank you for your service. This is my main go-to meeting. I really love it. It's really good. Things that stood out for me in the reading today was the isolation part, because it comes in two different pieces and flavors for me. First of all, when I was not abstinent or in the food, I tended to go in isolation as often as I could, in either by myself or with my wife. Or my spouse at the time, just so I could hide and binge and do whatever I wanted with food or the drug per se. However, becoming sober and living in abstinence since quite a long time, I realized that I actually seek solitude now as well when I come to the same kind of occasions, especially when it comes to work occasions, when people go out to dinner or there is a gathering or a reception or something. I try actually to seek solitude for other reasons, because it helps me regain my calmness inside. And I think it's hard to be around people that are not sober. I still find it sometimes a little bit agitating. It's annoying to be around people that are loud and noisy and so on. So if I've had a long day, I actually seek solitude just to keep my abstinence and keep my calm. So it's two different sides of the same coin. So before I hid to eat, and now I go into hiding to keep my sanity instead. So it's quite interesting what the disease does to us. That really stood out. I was reminded by both these very different sides of the solitude. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Andreas from Sweden. Marie S., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. My name is Marie S. from New York City, and very grateful and recovered, and just getting back from 2.5 weeks away, and grateful, so grateful for this program. And when I read this paragraph, it's in neon lights that is who I was, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and my disease had progressed so far that in order for me to stay highly functioning, I had to stay hyped up with sugar all the time. And I would be at work highly functioning and then come home and rage and take everything out on my three children. At the time, were teenagers. Now they're all grown. And as I look back and I work the steps, there's a lot of work that I do on the damage that my disease did with my kids. And they didn't know who they were going to get when they would see me. Was it the highly functioning mom who was a drill sergeant, or making sure everybody got all their chores done? Or was I the crazy woman who came home and just raged and laid on the sofa all night? And it was, I have a lot of regrets about that, but in contrast, it gives me a lot of gratitude and for who I am today and how I relate to people today and the calmness I feel and the recovery that I feel. And I just love this program, and I love that, as my sponsor always says, it never stops teaching me. I learn new things all the time. And so thank you to all of you for your service. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much, Marie S. from New York. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater currently in Palm Beach Gardens. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick, and the answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.